Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I've told you about this transition. We talked last time and mentioned about what the Lord said in John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. To have an understanding that there are commandments, even on this side of Calvary, that there is a way that's been given by the Lord, and that way is not to complete our salvation or perfect our salvation from the standpoint of the salvation of our souls, but it is out of obedience to the Lord. And the apostle here in the book of Ephesians is making this transition to go from church things, that church affairs and church matters. There's individuals involved in false doctrine, and especially like he's dealing with the churches of Galatia and the book of Galatians with. But he's making that transition here, going to individual things, okay? And we want to see the basis for this, and we talked about legalism and what legalism is somewhat touched upon true legalism, I mean, the definition of legalism is trying to do something to make God love you, trying to do something for God in turn to save your soul. That's legalism. Okay, on this side of salvation, on the saved side of salvation, on the new life side of salvation, being saved, having our souls saved, our position with the law of God, the word of God, the statutes of God, the testimonies of God, all those different words that are used, that they're there to instruct us about what our Lord expects of us in service to Him. Well, we don't do those things to make Him keep loving us. We do those things because He first loved us. Yeah. And whether it's things that we do and obey or are instructed in, or those things to stay away from, as those Gentiles were instructed by the first church there when that whole issue of circumcision was brought before the church at Jerusalem from Antioch, as an example. Here in verse number 17, let's read this, and there's a few other verses I want to bring into this. In verse number 17, this transition to personal affairs, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, Ephesians 4:17, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now the church as a body, we understand the addresses to the body, but the only way that this can be accomplished is by individuals. Okay? If we're all walking that old way, well, it'll be manifested in our church, but it happens individually. And he says, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the emptiness, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work on cleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the way of life, right? What we think, what we say, what we do. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Amen, Brother Chad? That's right. He's still that way. That old man is that way. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as we've recently referred to in Romans 12. Now you put on the new man, right? Be conformed to the image of Christ. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to the world, right? We know those things. Which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. That's that new man. He does not sin. He does not sin. And wherefore, putting away lying, we see a first indication there of a command, if you will, by the apostle to individuals in the church. Remember the Lord said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's to his disciples. And he instructs in that. I want to take a look at a couple. Let's look over here, if you will. Let's go here first in Matthew chapter 22. I believe Matthew chapter 22. Let's take a look at this. And this is the way the commandments have always been, the truth ordained by God. It's always been this way, and the Lord spelled it out in greater detail in Exodus chapter 20. But this is the heart of it, the the crux of it, if you will. I mean, this is the answer to it in as few words possible right here. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees, that is Jesus, to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Tell me what number one is. Tell me what number one is. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Is there anything left of you in heart, soul, and mind? There's nothing left. So love the Lord with everything, okay? What do the first four commandments there in Exodus chapter 20 indicate? Same thing. Right? Same thing. Same thing. It's summarized in that. And anything else that the Lord might add to it, we know that Exodus 20 and the commandments, the Ten Commandments listed there, are the summary of those things. Well, this is even a greater summary, isn't it? Love God with everything you are. Okay? Now, we as children who've been saved with the Spirit of God living within, we can. That's how we've been set free. Because we are able to.
Amen.
Well, before we couldn't. And those alienated from God can't. Don't know how. But we can. Because we've got the Spirit of God living within. And then this old man, he don't want to. And so, as the brother said and mentioned, we've got to pin him down. This is the first and great commandment. So he answers the lawyer's question, right? And the second is likened to it. I'm not going to let you off right there, the Lord says. You've asked me about the greatest, I've given it to you. It's your love towards God. A love towards God, a right love towards God, will want that we not disobey Him in any way. Right? Isn't sin the transgression of the law of God? Well, if we love Him, we'll not disobey Him, not have a desire or not pursue to disobey Him in any way.
Right?
Okay. But He says, I'm not going to let you off just on that. The second is likened to it. And He dealt with them because of their respecter of persons that they held to and their proud Pharisaical or proud religious way. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the one man asked the Lord, said, who's my neighbor? Remember what the Lord told about? Wasn't it about the man that was fallen prey to robbers left in the ditch? And the Samaritan, a Levite came by, right? Was it a Levite and a priest? Am I thinking right? Neither one of them would do anything for him. But then the Samaritan came by. And the Lord asked, did not the Lord ask, said, who was his neighbor? And the man said, not the Samaritan, because he didn't even want to say the word Samaritan, but he said, which was true, the one that showed mercy. Right? Yeah. We love ourselves a lot, don't we? Just go ahead and get honest and say yes. We do. We love ourselves a lot. We can't help but love ourselves. It's what's in us. We're to love everybody else as well as we love ourselves. Does that mean condone sin? Has nothing to do with condoning sin. Great misunderstanding about all that, isn't there? The sinners around us, whether they be estranged from God and need salvation, or sinners that are our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to love them like we would love ourselves. That's the reason that when I, as an example, as your brother, come and speak to you, that I would come and speak to you the way I would want to be spoken to. As an example. When I would extend myself to, as your brother, just give this example, when I would extend myself to help you, I would offer to help you the way I would want to be helped. Right? And so, here it is. Once again, the six of the Ten Commandments, the last six of the Ten Commandments, talks about in every whit the way that we ought to deal with one another, right? The first four of the Ten Commandments tell about our relationship with God. The last six tell about a relationship with men. And then that tenth one is special because it busts us wide open about telling about our problem. Okay? We want something else other than what we've got, covetousness. And so here, the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen to what he says. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As the children of God here in the church, in this church age, in the New Testament church age, are we exempt from these commandments? Wait a minute. But if commandments are legalism. No, no, no. Legalism has to do with salvation.
Right.
Okay? God wants his children, to obey. Don't you want your children to obey you? Don't you want to see other people's children obey their parents when their parents are leading them right? Yeah. Yeah, it's that way. So it is with us, with the Lord. Okay? I hope I'm not beating a dead horse here. But I want that to get in us that we understand these things. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Let's read some interesting things here. We live in a day where anybody that, you know, those that are trying to be obedient to the Lord, pardon me, and serve the Lord are many times tagged as being legalistic. Legalism. And we need to have an understanding of that. If the light of my brother or sister and their obedience sheds light upon my disobedience, I don't need to let that make me hard, bitter, and mean. I need to go to the Word of God and get lined up with what God says. Okay? And so, but sometimes that can happen with us when our brother or sister is trying to be obedient to the Lord. And sees commands out of the Word of God that the Lord has for His people and that He has for us, that we can take that light that shines and it can get prickly, it can get uneasy, we can get clammy hands and sweaty hands and all that, because I find myself at fault. And the testimony and witness of my brother or sister hurts me, hurts my mind. Listen here what it says in Revelation chapter 12. Look at this. Here, this somewhat of an allegory of the way that the Lord worked with Israel and the bringing forth of the Lord Jesus Christ and Israel and those things there. We pick it up here in verse number 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't have time to get into the chapter and what it's talking about here about Israel and the Lord and all those things. But here we see that what the Lord has given here in his revelation to John, that this was important to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said here, this, that Satan, being wroth with Israel, if I understand this right, sought to destroy the remnant of Israel, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this may be talking about things that are going to come to pass during the seven-year tribulation or the 70th week of Daniel and that latter part there. But notice here that the mention is that they keep the commandments of God. That's not talking about the ceremonial or sacrificial law. It's talking about just obeying the Lord. The Lord says it. The Lord says, be a witness. We're a witness. The Lord says, give to the work. Give to the work. The Lord says, give of yourself to the service of me. Then we do that. The Lord says for us to abstain from filthy communication to the world. We abstain from that. And so there it is. I just want us to see, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They're there hand in hand. If I claim to have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, but live my way, the world's way, am I? A testimony and witness is pretty weak, isn't it? Yeah. Because what is it that the whole world knows? That God and Jesus Christ is righteous? Well, that's just known. That's the reason mankind and the world system and all that fights against it. Because it's totally contrary to man and the way of man on this earth. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. Look here, we see the fall of Babylon. And here the Lord pouring out wrath. Babylon has fallen. And this verse number 9, we'll pick it up. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and him his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. It's clarified. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. See, who wants to obey the Lord other than those that have been rescued by Him?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
There's nobody that wants to obey the Lord for the praise and honor and glory of the Lord. We don't obey the Lord for ourselves. We have a benefit in it, but we don't do it for ourselves. We do it because He loved us. And He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here it is manifested again in the Scripture. Here is the patience, the faithfulness of the saints of God. We saw about saints this morning. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, and right there with it, and the faith of Jesus. So, you know, what is it in Romans? The Apostle Paul deals with that church there at Rome about the whole thing of... I had it and lost it. About the whole thing of grace, making it to where I'm just free to sin all I want to. That's no good, is it?
Amen.
It's contrary. It's not that way. We've been saved unto good works, unto obedience, unto being a faithful child. And we see it here, manifested here. Look here in verse number 13 here in chapter 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Right, Brother Chad? And their works do follow them. When it said, Sister so-and-so, she always said thus and so about something or other. And it's a blessing to us because it was the truth.
Amen.
Brother so-and-so always said this relative to this. And it was a blessing to us. That it was something from the Word of God that was really became effectual in their hearts and lives. And we know they have the testimony of obeying the Lord and speaking out about it and being faithful in it.
Amen.
Those that we have. You know, I think of Brother Tommy. Brother Tommy came to services when they had to pick him up and drag him in here. That's a testimony to us, isn't it? He wanted to be here, even though he couldn't even walk. But he wanted to be obedient, as an example. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verse number 10, he saith unto me, John writes, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He says, make them where they can be read, John. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. There's going to come a time, folks, it's going to be all said and done. Where you are, is where you're going to be, conditionally. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, the Lord says, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. And remember, when you see that word blessed in the scripture, that word blessed is always, it's always talking about being happy and rejoicing. And it's always talking about being touched by the Lord. It's all, that's what that word blessed is always talking about. It's the manifestation of the joy of the Lord being our strength. Okay? And it's the manifestation or the mention of us having been touched by the Lord that we may be joyful. Okay? Understand that. And so it says here, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, John's writing that, but he's writing it because it's the revelation of the Lord. You know, if you've got a red letter edition, that particular vote, that last verse I read, it's not red. Okay? But the thing is I heard a brother say years ago, the whole thing ought to be a red letter edition because it's all the Word of God. Right? Okay? You know? But it's not shown there as a quote. But that is what the Lord gave John. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Why? They've been saved. They're the children of God. They want to please their Heavenly Father. They desire to be a good witness of their Savior to a lost and dying world. They keep the commandments of the Lord. Why? Because they love Him. Because He loved us first. Okay? And so, may the Lord help us in that. James chapter 2. Let's read here. And here's in James chapter 2, you know this. Let's read it again. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. How are the works manifested? I've thought about this passage, and Brother Ronnie, he's my resident concordance in Sunday school class, so he may look it up for me. But the apostle speaks about, and I didn't look it up, but maybe you recall about where it is. It says, what soldier goes to warfare at his own charges? Right? A soldier doesn't go. Now, a mercenary will go with his own stuff, okay? But he's saying, what soldier goes about fighting warfare that isn't equipped to do so? Well, what do you and I know to do as the Lord's children in obedience to our Lord and Savior other than what He tells us? Here? That's how we know. That's how we know. Is it not the Word that tells us? Is it not Hebrews that tells us by the skillful use and understanding of the Word of God that we can discern good and evil? Well, it's what God has said. It's what the Lord has said that tells us what good and evil is. That tells us about obedience. That tells us about how to serve Him. Because what do we know in and of ourselves? Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. So the Lord, He praise God, He didn't leave us instructionalists, did He? He gave us much good instruction and really simple instruction. Okay? It's simple. So, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Well, what are the works? What the Lord's commanded us. Okay? If you don't like the word command, what the Lord's told us. If you don't like the word what we're told, say what the Lord's instructed us. Lord wants you to be in services as His child in His church. How do you know that? He's told us as an example. Right? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. There was one that asked me recently about how dealing with folks that they know of that always mention the name of the Lord and always talk about God and always talk about this, but their life doesn't reflect the Lord. They got talk, but there's nothing backing it up. Well, this might be a passage to use. Because if we get down and say, okay, what's the works? What are your works? You claim you're saved. What are your works? List them. And it's not a situation of it being a brag session. But if we are faithful to obey the Lord, it is there that we have obeyed, right? Because the Lord says, if you love me, what'd you say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Thou believest, or yea, a man may say, verse 18, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Yes, somebody, how do you know you're saved? And it can be a fine line there. You know how I know I'm saved? Jesus Christ saved my soul. I don't know I'm saved by coming to church. Here? How do you know you're saved? I give my tithe. Mm-mm. Why do you give a tithe? Why do you give an offering to the Lord? Because He saved me. He wants me to. See? There may be those that might trust in works. No, our faith is in Christ. But we do the works because He's commanded us to do so, because He loved us first. Amen. And we love Him. Amen. Right? I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. It's good to believe that there's one God, because there only is one God. But you know what? The devils believe the same thing. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that saves. Not that just He exists historically, but that He died for you.
Amen.
It's thinking of you, your sins, paying the debt for your sins that day, and gave His life a ransom for you that day. That thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Here, as we embark upon this, and I know I've really played it up a lot, but in Ephesians 4, that there's going to be this transition to personal instruction about how the individual members in the church are to operate and walk before God. Commandments, if you will. And commandments on this side of salvation, on this side of grace, on this side of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they're not bad. They're good.
Amen.
They're not legalistic. They're instruction.
Right.
For blessedness. Instruction away from sin. Instruction towards good and right things. And we got down here to where he begins to talk specifically about it in verse number 25, and we'll close. Verse number 25 of Ephesians 4. He's spoken to him about the old man and the way that what we've been saved from, right? And the way that that we haven't learned Christ, as these in verses 17 through 19, but ye have not so learned Christ, verse 20. If so be that you've really heard and been taught by Him, right? There's that word if. Put off that old conversation. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, verse 24. Wherefore, because of all that, put away lying. Child of God, don't lie. Is that legalistic? No. Because as a children, we should be telling the truth. Amen. Have we not been saved by the truth? Amen. By the Word of God. But then also in life, when we're confronted, as we all are confronted to be, we get challenged about a thing, and we maybe find an answer or an escape out of that challenge or that thing that comes to us, that if we tell the truth, it may be hard on us. So we lie. All we do is put it off for a little bit. Because when you tell one lie, what do you got to do? You got to tell another lie, and another lie, and another lie. Don't lie. Child of God, don't lie. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to yourself. And don't lie to others. If we love God, will we lie to Him? If we love our neighbor, will we lie to them? Do you want to be lied to? How many of you want to be lied to? Nobody wants to be lied to. We need the truth, right? We could operate well. He says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And there he's certainly talking about the church. I've enjoyed our parallel studies, and as we left the life of Saul of Tarsus and Apostle Paul and how he was saved and how he was called to the ministry and what led us to the book of Galatians. I pray you can remember about that. I know it's been a long time since, but we got into the book of Galatians and continued on with that, and then had this parallel study here of the book of Ephesians. I hope that that's not been tedious for you or hard or boring. It's been a blessing to me. It's helped me. And I hope it's being a help to you. You know, the Scripture has, as we take a look at the Scripture and we look at the Scripture expository, just verse by verse, sentence by sentence, line by line, it has an outline that's there. And it has an instruction to us that's there. And many times that instruction builds on what's been said before. Other times it's just dealing with particular subjects as it goes along. But here in these two, the churches of Galatia are dealing with Judaism having crept in and them being tempted to preach another gospel. The apostle going to them and saying, no, get away from that stuff. You know it's no good. You weren't saved that way. You weren't called that way. Stay away from that and get back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, see, they're faced with a doing that makes God love sinners. A fine line, right? But here, the church at Ephesus, they're being instructed about God's great and wondrous love for them before the foundation of the world, the Lord's gifts in the churches, the operation in the church, the unity that the Lord wants and has designed for His people to have, that oneness that's there that we've seen. And then now He's going to go into instructing, into personal instruction, that as individuals, because He's going to talk about in this book about standing in it, isn't He? In this book of Ephesians, He's going to talk about standing. He's going to say, having done all, to stand. I was thinking about that song Salvation Army sings it, Onward Christian Soldiers, right? We're called to stand. Think about it. We're called to stand. We're called to be equipped, and we're called to stand. Stand. Stand in the Lord. And so He instructs them as a church. He reminds them and teaches them some things. He's going to get into individual sanctification issues and then wrap up the book in that equipping for the service of the Lord. We're going to talk about things in families. Okay? And so it's interesting that there are individual issues that are being dealt with the different church issues. Then there are individual sanctification issues that are dealt with. But then much of it we find much parallel. Same things are being talked about. And so I pray that the Lord will help us to see those things and be encouraged by it, that we might be helped in our church and the Lord might instruct us through it. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as Savior. You can repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him. His way, salvation His way, not your way. Your way won't work. Man's way will never work. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He has the power to save. We point you to Him.